You're listening to The Bill Murphy Show, the music interview show featuring the best in the business. From behind the scenes, in the studio, and on the stage. Available by subscription for free on iTunes and at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
With a brand new digital broadcast episode for this Tuesday, August 21st. 2012, brought to you by our great friends at Lulu's Bait Shack, Fort Lauderdale Beach. Live music there this weekend. And I think like four or five nights a week you can catch live music there. So whether you're a local, it's a great live music venue, or whether you're planning to visit the South Florida area, great place to stop. Live music, fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks right there on A1A in Beach Place in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. And Millennium Laser Eye Center, good place to plan a South Florida trip as well if you want to get LASIK surgery from the best. Check them out. Their link is on our homepage as well. Go see Dr. Corey Lesner and his great staff over there in Sunrise, Florida. Another edition from a great Miami musician as we continue to expose the great talent here in this area and give them the promotion that they deserve. And it also, in turn, brings me some great content, because the more I hear from these great Miami musicians, the more I love what we have going on in this area. And we will talk a lot about that with this Miami singer-songwriter. His first English pop rock R&B album, Magic City, is just released this month. It has a lot of excitement around it. He's been compared to George Michael and Justin Timberlake, Mark Broussard, Bruno Mars, and more, just from his voice style alone. And the music is, you can make even more comparisons. Sang backups for John Cicada, Alejandro Sanz, Mark Anthony, and more. Featured in France's international web documentary series, Miami Havana. So this will give us an opportunity to talk about Cuba a little bit as well. He had a song that he co-wrote on Latin pop star Cheyenne's number one album, No Hay Imposibles, as I poorly try to pronounce that correctly. We've got Robert Elias on the phone with us, and it's been a long time trying to get you on the show. I really appreciate you coming on and spending some time with me, buddy.
Absolutely, Bill. Your Spanish is incredible.
You're too kind. It's not. And actually, I have to be, I've been working on my Portuguese lately as well, which can make it even more confusing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Before we get into the music, I want to talk about your upbringing and I guess your lineage being connected to Cuba. I was having a conversation with someone about it the other day, and forgive my ignorance in asking this question. What is the situation with Cuba? Let me put it this way. I saw a piece on the news the other day with a guide explaining about how the restaurants and so forth that have been government run are now being undermined by these tiny little private little restaurant situations going on in people's homes. And the guy was saying, the next time you're vacationing in Havana, and I thought to myself, the next time you're vacationing in Havana, how easy is it for an American to visit Havana these days? Has anything changed in the last few years that I don't know about?
I wish I was more educated on exactly what was going on there.
I know.
I really do. But I guess I should. I should do more research on that. But, I mean, they're all about having the American tourists there. I mean, that brings money to their country.
Right.
So I don't think they're opposed to that.
Right, okay. So you can, you know, still, you have to go through a little bit of a process, but it can be done. Anyway, we spent, maybe we spent a little too much time on that. So you had a musical mom and dad, which explains a lot when we hear your music. We're going to hear stuff from your new record called Magic City, which, of course, is referring to the city of Miami.
Correct.
But talk a little bit about that background. Were you born in Cuba and raised down there? And is that where mom and dad did all their music stuff?
I'm actually, you know, pretty Americanized. I was born in Miami, born and raised, and my mom was born in Ohio, and my dad was born in Cuba.
Okay.
And he came over here when he was a year old. So, you know, my parents' influences were always, they were very different, but they were, you know, they were very influenced by American music. I didn't start getting into Latin music until I was like 13 or 14 years old. Even though I heard it, you know, at family gatherings, it wasn't what I was drawn to. You know, my mom was, you know, disco queen of the 70s, and my dad was really into a lot of Southern rock, like Lynyrd Skynyrd and you know, even some Jimmy Buffett. So
Okay.
There was an interesting balance of music in my house growing up.
Well, you would assume, knowing that this is your first English album, that you would have been, it would have been the other way around, that Spanish would have been your first language, and then you went, so you sort of went back and then back, you know, from the American into the Spanish and then back again.
Back. Well, my dream was always to make this record, and being in Miami, all the opportunities that kind of arose were all in the Latin market. Until this day, I'm still very involved in the Latin market. Most of my commercial success and in the industry has been in the Latin market, writing songs and touring and working with all these amazing artists. But you know, it's when I sit down to write a Latin record or to write in Spanish, it doesn't always come as easily as it does language-wise for me in English.
Right.
So it's interesting that I ended up here.
You know, someone like you would really know how well stuff is translated, especially in the songwriting world. I'm sure you've been involved in some projects where you had to translate from English to Spanish and vice versa. And have you really run across some almost humorous translations of songs? Where...
Oh my goodness! You know, I'm a true believer that a song shouldn't be translated unless it really needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think sometimes, especially with Latin English translations, you lose a lot of the heart and the soul in the song.
Uh-huh.
I don't think something should be done just because it needs to be in Spanish or just because they want to do it in English to make some money. I hate that. But I have had to do different demos, and you know, for different songwriters, I've done work in the past where I've had to do it.
Yeah,
and you can definitely get a kick out of some of the translations.
I would imagine if you're going to do that and do it right, it's basically writing the entire song over again. You know,
yeah,
in some cases, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, give it a new twist. I don't think, you know, a lot of things get lost in translation.
So on sort of the same note, with this first English recording, Magic City, coming out, how's that going to affect your core Latin fans? They seem to enjoy the... How's it going so far with the reception with this record? Are they enjoying the English tunes just as much, or are you, I don't know, kind of shifting audience at all with this?
Well, you know, I think the goal in this business is to always try to broaden yourself as an artist and gain new fans.
Right.
but I think that my fans know off the bat that I'm capable of doing both languages, and I think that they enjoy the English stuff and the Spanish stuff. I mean, I don't think you need to know Spanish to enjoy the music.
Absolutely.
So,
right.
So, you know, I try to make music that I love and hope that it translates to my audience, and it's been great so far. The reception this week has been nuts for me, and I'm finally just getting to wind down a little bit off of the week that I had last week, and it's only going to get more busy. But it's the reception has been incredible. I love my fans, and I love that they're able to come on this journey with me, and I think it's awesome.
Yep.
Especially the ones that have been there from the beginning, from the Latin stuff.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. I know I can speak for myself that a few of my, some of my favorite songs are in different languages, and basically I have no idea what they're saying. I just really enjoy the sound of it, and I can sing along with the syllables and still not know what I'm singing. But, you know, sometimes music can be that great that it really just transcends
Absolutely.
Languages, you know?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. I think that's the beauty of music, that you can be in a totally different language and you can still love it.
Absolutely. Well, all right, let's listen to some of this new stuff. It's the new album called Magic City from Robert Elias, and he is, the title track is Magic City. I don't think I need to ask what the inspiration was for this song, but talk a little bit about how this got created. And before we roll it, talk about the procedure, because it was, I guess, a few years in the making. You started writing this stuff a long time ago. And when did you start finally recording it, and where did you do that?
Well, this track in particular, which was the inspiration for the rest of the album, was written... I wrote the chorus when I was on tour with a big international Latin artist. His name is Don Omar, and we were in Chile, in Viña del Mar, right before the big earthquake hit there. And I was really, you know, the being on the road was really difficult for me. We were going all over South America, and I was missing home, and I was trying to get inspiration for the record that I knew that I wanted to make. somewhere down the line. And the chorus came to me, I don't want to go back to the Magic City. And, you know, it just came in my head, and I was like, let me run with this. And when I got home, I kind of turned it into this song where I wanted it to be, you know, everyone can have their own Magic City. Magic City is Miami for me, but a Magic City can be an escape or a place where they feel like they're safe or they can call home. Mm-hmm. And it can be... it can be that place for anyone. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be Miami. For me, it is Miami. So it's, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory. But, you know, I wanted it to be a song where everyone could be like, you know, that's the place I want to go to. That's the place where I feel the most comfortable or where I can let loose or where I feel safe.
Awesome.
And that was the kind of the theme for the record.
Excellent. Magic City from Robert Elias on The Bill Murphy Show.
And I want to go back to the Magic City. When I'm home, I'm not alone. The sun's shining hot, we all look so pretty. Pretty in that Magic City. And I want to go back to the Magic City. Can you take me high, high, high? Well, I won't hurt nobody, just don't stand in my way. I'm heavy with a drink, I feel so steady. Are you motherfucking ready? Are you feeling alright? Oh, and I wanna go back to the Magic City. When I'm home, I'm not alone. The sun's shining hot, we all look so pretty. Pretty in that Magic City. And I wanna go back to the Magic City. When I'm home, don't feel alone. The sun's shining hot, we all look so pretty. Oh. Can you take me high? Am I gonna be high?
Magic City.
Can you take me high?
Oh.
Am I gonna be high?
Magic City.
Do you remember partying till the end of noon? Havana dreams of racing on the southern moons. The ocean is my potion for my wounded soul. Steady, are you motherfucking ready? Are you feeling alright? Oh, and I wanna go back to the Magic City.
When I'm home, I'm not alone.
Sun's shining hard, we all look so pretty.
Pretty in that Magic City.
And I wanna go back to the Magic City.
When I'm home, don't feel alone.
Sun's shining hard, we all look so pretty.
Oh.
Can you take me high?
Oh.
Am I gonna be high? Can you take me high?
Oh,
am I gonna be high?
Magic City.
As I travel around the world, so many lessons I've learned. No one's gonna take my turn, my city won't burn. Can't wait to touch down heavy with a drink, I feel so steady. Are you motherfucking ready? Are you feeling alright? And I wanna go back to the Magic City.
When I'm home, I'm not alone.
The sun's shining hard, we all look so pretty.
Pretty in that Magic City.
And I wanna go back to the Magic City.
When I'm home, don't feel alone.
The sun's shining hard, we all look so pretty.
Oh.
Can you take me high? Am I gonna be high? Sunshine and heart, we all look so pretty.
Yeah, I wanna go back to the magic city. Can you take me high, high?
Magic City from Robert Elias on the Bill Murphy Show. The album just released. That is the title track. We got a link for you to buy that from Amazon. I'm sure it's available on Amazon MP3 and iTunes and all the usual suspects, and perhaps at a live show when you can catch Robert, which we'll talk about later in it as well. Now, we didn't talk about where that was recorded and when you did all that, 'cause I know that was a long process for you. I guess these days you got to wonder whether, you know, how much artists are doing on their own with the technology the way it is. How much of that did you do by yourself, and how much did you do in another studio and put other people in charge of it?
Well, that particular track was done half in Miami and half in my producer Kenny Scott's studio, 18 Below. And so I think we recorded guitars first in Miami, then we did all the vocals and most of the production in Fort Myers, Florida, where he lives. It was recorded in his house. And then we re-recorded guitars for this final album version, because there was a younger version of the song floating around online. But yeah, you know, the album was a lot of back and forth. I did all my background vocals on the album. I did all the harmonies and all the vocal arrangements on
nice.
My own. And
nice.
So, you know, there was a lot of back and forth. Chris Alvey, who was from the Chris Alvey Band, who's also from Miami, he recorded a lot of the guitars on the record here in Miami, and then we would send them over to my producer, and he would, you know, make them modern.
Right,
and,
right.
Make them sound alive and fresh, and he really did a great job of bringing the album to life. I'm so happy with what he's done. You know, I said that I wanted to make a record that could get played all over the world, and mm-hmm. that could get played on the radio, and I think that I achieved that.
I was going to comment specifically about the guitars as well. They sound very, very nice and very, very powerful, but yet very easy on the ears. And that's the thing about how that subtle ingredient can, you know, almost change the whole genre of it. It's once you start thinking this is an R&B record, then a guitar kicks in and it sounds more rock, and then basically the melodies are very pop. So where does it fall in genre wise? If you had to categorize it, which I'm sure you did on iTunes, where would you put it?
I have no problem saying that I've made a pop record.
Okay, good.
You know, my influences are, like you said earlier, guys like George Michael and Michael Jackson and you know, Freddie Mercury and all the great male pop artists that I've been influenced by, I think all have a little piece of this album. You mm-hmm. know, any artist that says that they don't, you know, have any kind of influences, I think it's all crap, because, you know, everyone has influences, and it's always going to show in your music in
right.
some way or another. Especially at this point in music, you know, everyone is taken back by some artist that has influenced them so much that they've, you know, taken on a little piece of that. And I think that's a beautiful part of music too. But with this record, I wanted to show my versatility, and I wanted to have fun with it and not be afraid to say, okay, I'm stuck in this box.
Right.
Because I think that's when you get trapped.
Yeah.
And that's when you don't gain those new fans. You know, I want to try to pull fans from as many genres as possible.
Absolutely, brother. And I totally get it. And I mean, I'm pop to me only really means things like catchy and successful
popular.
Like, yeah, I'm a sucker for pop music. I mean, I'm a rocker at heart, but really, you know, if you get me with a song, I don't care what genre it is, but if it's the first time I'm hearing the song, and in the second chorus I'm already singing along, you've got me. And that's really the secret behind putting something that's, to me, that's the definition of pop, you know?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of pop can have some rock and roll to it. And,
no
and
doubt.
I did want to include that in the record. I mean, there's tracks like Our Generation and even Shoot Me in the Head that really take you back to more of my soul rock kind of influence that I got from my father. And,
uh-huh.
and, I'm not afraid to play with that.
Yep, absolutely, and it's evident. And I handpicked another song that we're going to play later in the show, because that's what I usually do with the artists. I'll play the obvious single or maybe the title track from a record, but then I'll go and personally pick a favorite, and which we'll do that in a little bit. But first, while we're on the subject of pop, I'm going to go ahead and quote you. I read an article that you did an interview in the Miami New Times, and you were quoted here.
Uh-oh.
I think we can get into this in a little detail, and it sort of is in the same vein of what we were talking about. It says here, quote, "For some strange reason, people are afraid of pop music and what it means to be labeled a pop artist, but I've always been fascinated by it. What makes it difficult is trying to convince some of the newer bars, promoters, booking agents that a pop show can be a live rock show and that fans want to come to see it. It's ironic because the biggest selling acts in the world are pop acts. It's almost as if because you're doing pop music, you can't be indie or cool enough for these venues." Bro, you really hit home with that quote, and I hope we can elaborate on that a little bit here. I mean, what is it about that? And I don't know if that's just exclusive to Miami in this area. There are just some pockets of areas in cities that it's just it's too cool for you to be pop. I mean, if I know that's sort of what you're saying there.
Yeah, you know, I've every interview that I've done for this record has brought up this article.
Uh-oh.
And no, but it, you know what? I'm glad that it's happened, because I think part of being a musician is being able to show, to speak your mind and share things that you feel, because people read that. People can feel the truth. And for me, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I'm not getting gigs. I am getting gigs. I mean, I'm gigging a lot.
Good.
But I could gig a lot more if I didn't have to put up such a fight constantly with these venues. You know, Miami's a very difficult place to play live music. You know, there's a lot of Latin fusion bands, which is what people come to expect. It's
sure.
Like on TV, whenever they show Miami, they show South Beach.
Yep.
You know, there's much more to Miami than just South Beach. And to me, I found it really difficult in the beginning, you know, when I started just doing my original stuff on a regular basis here. You know, a lot of people were like, well, you know, I don't know if people are going to get this. I don't know if, you know, if you should maybe play some Latin music with it. I mean, it was just, I got all kinds of things. And I just wanted to prove to these people that you can put on a really killer pop music show and still have live musicians and still have that connection with the audience that all these other bands here have.
Right. You use the word
sure.
ironic in there, and it is extremely ironic, because I think what you're saying in some cases, and I know we can't point the finger at any specific venues because we don't want to burn any bridges, make any enemies, but I mean, sometimes it's so odd because you could be up there playing a set of the catchiest, you know, poppiest cool tunes that are your own, but yet they want it to be more avant-garde and more weird, and not weird in a bad way, but, you know, off, you know, just not normal. And, you know, like the stranger it is, then the cooler it is, then that's okay. You know what I mean?
Right, but that's not what I'm about. I mean, I'm not here
right.
trying to be weird. I'm here trying to be myself. If I happen to be a little quirky, that's fine. But
sure.
I don't think pop music is always weird, and that's what I'm trying to sell.
Right.
You know, I think the biggest misconception is that pop music can't be indie, and I'm completely an independent artist.
Well,
I think it is my own shows right now.
Part of it is that they don't think that pop equals original. In other words, that it's not original unless it's something
right.
you completely haven't heard before. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And I'm really trying to give it to them, and I'm trying to give it to them as hard as I can. But you know, I still battle that. Like, even now, getting the album reviewed, I've had, you know, some people get back to me that have been like, I don't think this is, you know, indie enough for my audience. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm indie. I mean, I'm an independent artist.
Right.
Here it is. Here's original music that I've done, that I've worked hard on. And you're telling me that you won't review it because it's not indie enough. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. But there is something to be said about indie, you know, being completely different. I think there's the definition of indie is being stretched to a point where it's not literal anymore. It really sort of means a sound now. And
right.
because by definition you are indie, but now indie is really labeled as something that sounds like something you haven't heard before, therefore it can be called indie. So yeah, I think that's where the little dilemma lies. So
absolutely.
All right.
But
enough.
You know what? If no one talks about it, then the problem is never fully translated.
Well, I think we nicely tiptoed around that subject. So it was nice.
There we go.
Because God knows, I still have a lot of indie bands and label people I want to talk to. So I don't want to, you know, defriend them. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about your band, and then I'll play this other song. It's Robert Elias and the Revenge. On that note, tell us a little bit about the band, and also the fact that you really place an importance on playing live. And I'm with you, man. I get the impression that you don't really want to record something unless it's recorded in a way that can be duplicated live. Am I getting that right? And do you
absolutely
you arrange that way in the studio, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to make a pop record that was all full, you know, just, you know, tracks where they were just created by hand. I wanted to be I'm all about, you know, moving with technology and moving forward with the industry, but I did want to keep, you know, real instruments in the songs, and I wanted the songs to have that kind of dynamic, and we did that. And I think it's so important to get out there and play live. At the end of the day, I'm a singer, you know.
Yep.
I want to go out there and sing, and I don't need auto-tune to sing. I can sing for you right here in my living room. And that's what I wanted people to know. And I think when you're a pop artist, sometimes, you know, you can get lost in the art, or you can get lost in the lights, or you can get lost in the show. And I wanted it to, at the end of the day, just be a soulful experience for the audience, and I think it's been going really well. And that's where Robert Elias and the Revenge came from, because I didn't want to just be like, okay, Robert Elias, like, I go there and it's all about me. No, I want it to be about the music and about the musicians that play with me, that help bring these songs to life.
Who are the cats? Who are the cats in your band?
You know, we've gone through some changes, but the final the final lineup right now that's kind of stuck, a lot of UM guys, Taylor Bird on guitar, Brian Tate on bass, Alex Hoyt on the keys, and Brian Lang on the drums.
Cool.
Yeah, and these guys have been playing with a lot of local bands, everyone from Joel DeSilva and the Midnight Howl to Rocky Sophie.
Jacob Jeffries,
right. And Juke. I mean, a lot of these guys have been playing with them, but I kind of stole them.
There you go. Well, get them while you can. You know what I mean? Very cool. All right. Now let's listen to another track. I really was listening through the record, and this one kind of hit me. I listened to it twice in a row and said, okay, this is one I want to play and talk about. We're going to play a song called Come On Over. How did this one get inspired and written and created?
Come On Over is probably, you know, one of those songs to me that just kind of happened so naturally. It really takes me back to like a time when like 90s pop, you know. I could see like a boy band singing this song in the 90s,
or right, okay. Even,
but then I could hear like someone like Hall & Oates kind of doing this.
Yeah.
And I really wanted it to have that kind of balance and still have Robert Elias to it, but it was written by me and Eric Marin, a local songwriter in the studio, and then my producer Kenny Scott and Chris Alvey joined in and kind of helped bring the song to life. So it's one of my favorites on the record. My favorites change every week, but it's definitely one of those songs that I feel like people have really connected with, and I mean, I'm excited about it.
Well, very cool. Let's take a listen to it. It's Come On Over, Robert Elias on The Bill Murphy Show.
I gotta tell you, I think we knew each other in another lifetime. I can see it in your eyes, and there's no denying, hey, I'm a better man with you, and I can't believe it. I'd like to take my chance, so won't you come on over? To feel you near, we can talk it over. I'll take away the fear, won't you come on over? I need to feel you near, we can talk it over. I'll take away the fear. Don't you see, finally I can be all you need.
Come on over, Robert Elias on the Bill Murphy Show from his new album, Magic City. Very, very vocal song there. And I love the production on that. It's nice and open and clean and a lot of vocal. Like you said, man, you said it. So, of course, I'm sitting here listening to it, picturing a 90s boy band singing that.
Yeah. Well, which I love. I mean, I grew up in the 90s. No, I was a teenager in the 90s. So I was influenced by all those kind of harmonies and that smooth kind of straight up pop sound.
Hey man, you took a lot of.
I'm not ashamed of it.
No, you shouldn't be. You took a lot of nice things out of that whole era, and I want to stay on that for a bit. Being a singer myself, and really really into vocals, I want to ask you a couple of technical things. Have you fallen mm-hmm. Have you fallen in love with a particular microphone and or preamp that you do? Have you got a routine down now that you're very comfortable with that gives you the perfect like proximity and process in the studio?
I'm when I perform live, I'm using a Sennheiser wireless. There's this cool voice tone creator. It's by TC Helicon. That's really awesome.
Yep.
That's really cool to play with your vocals live. In the studio, my producer's using a custom made mic. You would have to ask him. That's a whole different interview.
Wow.
He's using a custom made microphone. He actually got it halfway through my record, I believe. So I know a lot of the songs were created with a totally different microphone.
Huh.
For half of the record. So, you know, he would probably be better to answer those questions. But live, that's what I'm using. I mean, I'm into any kind of microphone that makes my vocals sound real.
That's very cool. And you know what? You don't get distracted by too much technical stuff. It's cool that when you get in the studio, you just kind of get what the producer puts in front of you, let him dial it in and get it going, and trust him with it, because then you can concentrate on singing like you should be.
Right. Right. Which is that's what I like to do. When I get in the studio, I go in completely focused, and I'm there to really envelop myself into the song.
Right.
And so I try not to think about all those other little things too much. Although, I mean, you do get lost, and gadgets are so fun. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not to work backwards here, but to go back into like the whole studio recording process, are you doing enough production on your own to be able to put demos together to outline songs so that when you go to the next level, it's sort of, you know, you've kind of pushed it in a direction you want to? How much of the demo process do you do on your own?
Well, usually the writing process for me comes in a different ways. First of all, I don't like to force a song. If a song is not coming to me, I usually just throw it away.
Yeah.
I don't even pursue it. I believe that, you know, a song should be born and it needs to come out fully. I mean, you don't just give birth to a baby halfway.
You throw them away like every single song I've tried to write in my life.
You know, I don't know. I like for the song to come naturally. You know, if I feel like I have to force it, I usually don't move on with it.
I think my problem is, and I never could label myself a songwriter because I never really complete the process, because what happens to me is I'll start writing and then a third of the way through the song, I'm already recognizing how many other songs it sounds just like. So I completely just throw it away and say, oh, you know what? You're just rehashing something you already heard. So
you gotta go with it, Bill. Next time I talk to you, I want you to have a song finished.
Okay. I'll start working on that, Rod. Then I'll play it for you and you go, what are you talking about? This sounds just like the Cars or something. I don't know that, but anyway, it's that, you know, I tease, but it's a very difficult process to listen to yourself and self edit and go, you know what, am I really doing something original, or am I just you know, doing a different version of something I've heard before?
It is, absolutely. And usually, you know, for me, I'll take a song or a melody idea or even a concept of what I want the song to be about, and I'll take it to whoever I'm working with. I tend to, I play some piano, but I'm not good enough at it yet where I can just sit there and play a full song by myself.
Right.
But I mean, usually the songs are conceived in my brain, and I'll think of like a full chorus, and I'll take it to whoever I'm writing the song with, or right, whoever my producer, or, you know, a guitarist or a pianist, and I'll sit there with them and I'll tell them, you know, where we should take it. And then, you know, we'll get verses from there, and,
yep,
and then the song will come to life.
Yeah. That just kind of, it just says how important co-writing is, because it really can put whole new perspectives and new dimensions on songs, you know?
Absolutely. And to answer your question, I do demos on my own here in, you know, anywhere I am. Even if I'm in my car driving and I get a song idea, I'll like reach for my phone and I'll record the idea right there, because you never know when you can forget it.
Right.
And you know, a lot of it sucks, but a lot of it is really good.
Hey,
so
man,
it depends. You know, it depends on the moment. So, but I always, even if I'm sleeping and I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll record it.
Right.
Or, you know, if I dreamt about it and I wake up in the morning and it's there, bam, that's, you know, I'll try to get the idea recorded into my computer, and then I'll send it to my producer and he'll start building a track around it.
Right. So. Whatever it takes. If it takes 100 tries to get 10 songs out of it, then so be
it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know, you know, you never know how a song is going to conceive itself. You know, sometimes you meet someone that has a chorus and then your verse goes well with that chorus, and
yep,
you thought it was completely different song.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like putting together a puzzle.
Well, Robert, thanks so much for bringing us into your songwriting and creating world. I guess roberteliass.com is ready to launch in a new version here pretty soon, so people can keep,
yes,
an eye on that.
Yes, I'm excited. The new website will be coming soon, and then they can check me out on Facebook.
Right.
Robert Elias Music.
Cool, and we'll have the link for that, for people can go directly to it right on the show page here. Now, as far as the new record goes, they can find that on iTunes and Amazon and all those places?
It's on iTunes. You can even stream it for free on Spotify.
Ooh, okay. Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah, you can. I mean,
is that cool or not? Do you appreciate that people can do that, or do you feel like, okay, maybe people are just going to listen for free and not buy it?
Well, the music industry is changing, so I'm okay with it. And Spotify gives the artist a fee,
okay.
So you do make money.
Cool.
And so I think that that's okay. I mean, the record will be on YouTube anyways, where people can listen to it for free. But you know, there's something about buying a record and putting it on a CD and listening it to in your car.
Okay.
So I think everyone should go and do that.
And as we record this on August 21st, people could be listening, you know, weeks down the road. But what's on the horizon for Robert Elias and the Revenge? Any shows coming up that we need to know about?
Yeah, we have a show. We'll be in Miami at Brickell Irish Pub on the 22nd of September.
Oh, nice.
And then October 5th is the album release party at Will Call in Miami. And then we're going to be hopefully hitting the road soon. I'm going to be super busy because I'm doing stuff. I work on the Latin Dancing with the Stars, so I'll be doing a lot of the band coordinating on that show.
Wow, and then, very cool.
So at the same time, trying to tour and promote the record. So,
excellent.
That's what it's all about, the hustle.
So people should keep an eye out for that October 5th CD listening party, release party.
Absolutely.
But you guys will be performing that night as well.
We'll be performing the whole record, and we'll have some surprises and a lot of local media there, and alcohol and dancing and debauchery.
I'm going to try to be there. I leave for a week vacation the next day, so that might be a nice way to kick that off. Come out and see you guys.
Absolutely.
October 5th. Excellent.
Absolutely. You let me know, and you know, we'll take good care of you.
I expect to be on that guest list, God damn it. No, I'm just kidding. Robert Elias, hey man, I really appreciate you coming by and spending some time with us and sharing your music. I wish you the best of luck, and I will make a point of seeing you October 5th at that show at Will Call.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bill. It was so much fun.
You got it, buddy. And hang on 1 second. We'll say our official goodbyes in the meantime. Let me say goodbye to the audience. We appreciate you listening, liking, and sharing. Please continue to do so. Post this link on your Facebook page or anywhere you see fit. Email it if you like. And keep checking in at www.billmurphyshow.com for more great new shows. Catch you next time.
Subscribe to the Bill Murphy Show podcast for free at iTunes. You can post comments about today's show, listen to archived episodes, and like the show on Facebook by visiting BillMurphyShow.com. A presentation of Bill Murphy Productions.